The FT.
Mainstream political parties in Europe are facing a growing challenge from right-wing anti-immigration parties like the Front National in France and UKIP in Britain. But in Spain, the two parties that have ruled the country for decades have been unsettled by an upstart party from the left. Podemos, which translates as "We Can," has managed in the space of 10 months to become one of the most popular political movements in the country, capable of capturing a quarter of the national vote. I'm Fiona Simon, and on the line with me is our Madrid correspondent, Tobias Buck, to discuss the rapid rise of this anti-establishment party. Hi, Tobias. Could you tell us how Podemos came about and who its leaders are?
Yes, well, Podemos was founded at the very beginning of this year. It was founded by a group of political scientists, mostly professors or teachers at the Madrid University here. They come from a pretty far-left background. Several of the leaders wrote their PhDs on issues such as the anti-globalization movement or the revolutions in Bolivia. They are very closely attached also to the so-called Indignados movement that surfaced here in Spain during the crisis, which was a movement to protest the austerity policies during the crisis. So they come from this far-left, highly academic, fairly intellectual background, which makes them quite unusual, obviously, in the sense that it's sort of not very likely for a popular movement to be led by political scientists, really. But that's where they come from.
And what's their political platform?
Well, the political platform has been shifting quite a lot. They wrote their first platform just a few months after they were founded for the European Parliament elections in May this year. And that was a fairly radical platform that, for example, flirted with debt default, that called for the European Central Bank to be put under political control. It called for lowering the age of retirement, the introduction of a 35-hour week. So a fairly radical economic program for sure. That has since been toned down a little bit. Podemos is partly due to its success in the polls. They're trying more and more to appeal to the political center, or at least not just to the political fringe. And so they presented last month a new economic program that, though still very much to the left, is perhaps slightly less radical than the original program. So they dropped, for instance, the idea of a sort of unilateral move regarding the Spanish sovereign debt. And they also dropped the idea of retirement at the age of 60, which, given Spain's already strained pension system, would, I think, have been quite catastrophic. So they're trying to still hold on, obviously, to their core supporters on the left, but they're trying to make themselves more attractive also to centrist voters who perhaps have less appetite and less stomach for these more radical economic ideas.
I understand that they've also criticised what they call the transition regime in Spain. What do they mean by that?
Well, the transition that refers to is the transition in the late 70s from the Franco dictatorship to Spanish democracy. And that transition has, frankly, been widely hailed as a huge, if not historic, success, both in Spain and outside Spain. The issue that Podemos and critics of the transition have with this historical process, really, is that it led to a system that is very much geared towards maintaining stability. And I think that it has done so quite successfully, as we saw during the crisis, in which Spain remained remarkably politically stable as opposed to other crisis-ridden countries in the European periphery. So what the constitution and what the political system that was set up in the wake of the transition did was it gave a lot of power to the two main political parties. It ensured stable majorities, stable governments, and tried to prevent the sort of fragmented political scene that we see, obviously, in other countries. And the criticism that Podemos makes of this system is that it's basically installed a sort of deeply corrupt party system that pervades all sectors of society, and that has to be swept away.
Do you think there's much sympathy in Spain for that view? And who are Podemos supporters, really?
Well, Podemos supporters are overwhelmingly young people. That's the main division. And I think it actually reflects the broader division in Spanish society between the older generation that benefited from the economic boom before the big housing collapse here after 2008, and the younger generation, which basically has suffered tremendously as a result of the crisis, which has very few perspectives, which sees the sort of easy path towards jobs and houses and social welfare and pensions barred. Many youngsters are leaving the country or have left the country already. And these are exactly the people for whom the system no longer works. And that's why this kind of anti-system discourse that you get from Podemos resonates very strongly with them. So, I mean, their voters identify themselves overwhelmingly as left-wing voters, though they also draw some support from former voters of the ruling right-wing Popular Party. But overwhelmingly, they're young left-wing voters. And I think there's one other important force that drives their support, and that's obviously the widespread disgust, which I think is shared broadly on the right and on the left, with political corruption in Spain. So this, apart from their program, is a very important factor in explaining their success. Well, obviously, this is a young party. They're completely untainted by political corruption, and they can make an argument very forcefully that they could bring in a clean new regime.
What's your view about their chances of lasting? Do you think that they have actually a serious chance in winning the next election?
It's very hard to say. I mean, the polls have certainly registered an enormous, stunning surge. I mean, they've basically come from absolutely nowhere to vie with the ruling Popular Party and with the opposition socialists to become the biggest party in Spain. At the moment, I mean, the polls differ, of course, from month to month, but at the moment it looks like the three will each gain between 20 and 30% of the vote, which of course makes it extremely difficult to form a stable government. So there's already many questions asked over, would Podemos, for example, support a socialist government? Will the rise of Podemos lead to the creation of a grand coalition between the socialists and the PP, which has always been unthinkable here in Spain? So I think that for Podemos to actually win the election and emerge as the party of government, it doesn't look that likely, quite simply because both the main parties do have a fairly solid core of supporters who will vote for them no matter what. But having said that, all it would take really is another major corruption scandal to blow up, say, 4 weeks before the vote next year, and all bets are off. So I think Podemos has put itself in a position where they certainly have become a big factor, or an unignorable factor, in Spanish politics. Where exactly they'll end up, whether they'll become the strongest party or the second or the third strongest party, is hard to say, but they're certainly not going to disappear.
Thank you very much, Tobias.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.